Hey everybody, here we are.
Boogie.
That's guest star MC Frontalot.
I am a star of guesting.
And regular star, what's your new name?
Chamberlain Electrolift Superglide.
Yeah.
I like that you threw a Chamberlain in there.
It was on the placard. I looked up at the ceiling of the garage in the fantastic house where we're staying, and there was a placard that had my new name on it. I figured it was a sign from God. And henceforth, I was to be known as, you know, Chamberlain Superglide is fine. It's got the honorific in there.
What am I drinking?
I don't know.
Single cask, single malt, scotch, whiskey.
Who was that guy? There was a guy at Con who left some scotch.
His name is Dave from Australia. I think his player name is DJVE.
DJ from Australia.
Caledonian DJVE. Selection.
Where's Caledonia? Do they make good scotch in Caledonia?
I think they have knights there. Oh, that's Cydonia.
Cydonia. The knights of... You're thinking of Columbus. That's where they have knights.
I'm going to drink some because from my previous experiences with you guys, it's very important to be completely loaded for KOL Radio.
You're never loaded for KOL Radio. I'm getting started a little early today, I guess. I normally don't drink for the Monday show anymore. It's too early in the day. What about you, Scully? You going to drink a big glass of whiskey?
That's a phrase you
no,
should
I
say.
No, I think I'm going to wait until I'm back at home.
All right. You're not going to drink until you're charged with taking care of a baby.
Yeah, well, he's going to sleep as soon as we get home.
Well, yeah, if you give him two fingers.
Whiskey, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you give him two fingers. That's disgusting.
Well, I'm going
to go to jail.
Filthy-mouthed.
It was interesting that all he said was two fingers, and that's the direction you took it.
Well, that was bartender talk. No?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
For legal purposes?
For finger-banging babies. That's what bartenders say. I gave that kid two fingers.
Classy. I love it. I love being on KOL Radio. We let the classiness out.
I would say you're a bad influence, but...
No, I've heard the show.
Yeah, we don't need you sitting here to talk about raping babies.
Hey, who said it wasn't consensual?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's making...
If they bat playfully at the mobile... That means they're asking for it? Is that what you're the only father here.
That's only if they bat suggestively at
the You're the only
mobile.
Father here that we know of.
Oh.
There could be some more hiding, you know.
Some guy with a couple of kids is camping out in the garage.
Priest. You know, we could have a priest.
Family of nine is fleeing Sheriff What's-His-Name in your filing cabinet.
We were driving and we saw a car with one of those Our Family sets of stickers on the back. And... there were like a dozen kids, and one of them had a halo, which presumably means that they had a kid that died.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they just have a kid who likes playing Halo.
That could be. It was like a teenage girl, apparently. I don't know if she died when she was a teenage girl, or if they keep updating the sticker to how old she would be if she wasn't dead.
Oh my goodness.
That's kind of sad.
I don't know, yeah.
When Jerry Garcia died, there was, at that time in Berkeley, there was a very large number of... What do you call it? Band? Grateful Dead. The stickers on cars with the little four teddy bears holding hands, you know? Remember this logo?
Yep.
And this, like, punk teenager from my high school walked around and with a big Sharpie and just crossed out one of the bears on all the cars.
That's pretty funny.
Loved that. That made me happy.
I saw one of those My Family sets of stickers on the back of a car being driven by one of those kind of, like... chubby, unpleasant-looking goth girls that you see every once in a while, you know? And there were just a bunch of red X's over several of the members of the family.
Huh.
And I wonder if that's her family, and she's putting red X's over the ones that she has somehow alienated herself from over some petty conflict.
That's what I imagine. That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
If you're gonna wear your values and beliefs on the back of your car in vinyl... you might as well put your family conflicts there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, most of my feelings are about things that Calvin should pee on. That, like, I don't have a lot of emotions, but when I do, they are.
You see the world in black and white, or black and yellow, as the case may be.
I evaluate everything in terms of whether or not I feel like Calvin would pee on it, given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Poor Bill Watterson.
He did, 'cause his character, Calvin, did not do a lot of peeing during the strip. So there was occasional peeing, but it was only, you know, to further the plot.
Was there actual peeing?
Very, very rare.
And so tastefully done.
Not grinning and creating a giant arc that would land on a rival car company's logo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like in a bathroom.
Yeah.
He didn't even...
I remember a Calvin and Hobbes comic where he gets in the toilet and flushes it and spins in circles.
That's right.
And then goes downstairs and she says, boy, that was a quick bath. She, whoever she is.
Somebody.
They never have names.
Yeah. That's right. The parents are nameless.
A nameless patent attorney and a nameless harried woman who's upset about things.
I didn't think she was that hirsute.
Did she have a job? She had a job.
I don't know. I don't know if she had a
job
or not.
She painted a chair in that one strip.
Hmm.
Maybe she's a...
She had a job painting a chair.
She's a professional chair painter.
Every few years, I'm going to need you to put a new coat of paint on this chair.
Extremely part-time.
I'm going to need you to constantly paint this chair while I watch.
There's a website for that.
If you don't, stop painting it.
Chicks constantly painting chairs.net.org.
.net.org is hard. It's hard to get that subdomain.
No, it's a subdomain of .net.org.
Oh, I see.
Chicks constantly painting chairs .net.org.
There we have it.
So we had a KOL con. That's what we had this weekend, and I'm tired. I've been walking around in kind of a fugue state today. By walking, I mean sleeping and then eating breakfast and then almost immediately eating lunch and then coming here.
Nice.
To do this show with you fine fellas.
Vic20, my keyboardist, made us a fine, fine brunch today.
What did he make it out of?
There were potatoes and onions, bacon, turkey bacon for my picky ass, and then regular bacon for the real men, and lots of eggs.
Hmm. And then how do you like your eggs?
V8.
Uncurdled.
Oh.
As far as I know.
My buddy Brendan Brown was working on a country song. Do you want to hear how it goes?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd got your mouth pregnant instead. I think it's tasteful. It's going to be like a radio hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty.
Yeah.
Lilting.
Hillbilly chicks vomiting babies. .org.
Yeah.
.org.
/..
That's a subscription site, though. I don't go there a lot.
Yeah, you can't pay for it. It loses all of its appeal.
Hey, how's the new game coming? Does it have a name yet?
Nah, it's got a shitty name.
How shitty?
It's not shitty. It's not shitty. We needed like an overarching name for the whole world, the whole series thing, you know, so that we can have it, you know, with like a subtitle that's some joke about nightmares, and then something that's about people fighting each other for the second one, and then something that's about like, you know, online or world of X. The world of word realms. World of word realms, online realms. Like free realms. It's like world of free realms. Mm-hmm.
.org.
Land of word realms world.
I'm sorely tempted to actually go with Riff's suggestion of math wizards.
That would be some false advertising.
It is a much better. It's just a good title. Because people would, you know, people would dismiss it out of hand, then find out, no, this is actually something that you'd be interested in, as opposed to something that we try to foist on like 12-year-olds instead of a real game. I read something about some charter school that teaches everything via video games.
Hmm.
Oh yeah, that was in the news.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Very good idea. Or a wonderful idea.
I think it might actually, you know, I feel like that could probably work, and like if I've learned anything from my experiences of knowing people who teach at charter schools, it's that there is basically no quality control for any of that stuff. So
at charter schools?
Yeah. I don't know, man. The school that we did the LARP at, boy did we have a LARP.
We did. That was LARPish.
Mr. Skull had dressed like a frat boy. He and Cirrus had 5 polo shirts on between them. It was pretty amazing.
We did. Although during the pizza break, I somehow managed to get pizza sauce on the back of the arm of one of my shirts.
What's weird is that it was the one that was closest to your body.
Yeah, that too.
Not the exterior
so
one.
That's not just how you eat. That's
I had to demote myself.
What was weird about that? I don't understand.
Yeah, usually when I'm eating, I have my arm up and over my head.
Yeah, I eat by feeding slices of pizza in between my first and second layer of shirt.
Right.
that's how I consume it. I'm not gaining any weight, and it's like I'm not eating anything at all.
Can we talk about how this is the first broadcast that's in stereo for the talking part.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's the first one that's meaningfully in stereo. We're in stereo all the time lately. It's only coming out of one channel. So we've got us in the left channel, and then we've got some silence as a counterpoint.
I see.
As a contrast, we've got some fancy hardware that because I hate technology, it fills me with fear and loathing.
It just
I don't
we came we spent about 40 minutes setting it up just now, and it, yeah. it caused him to grow visibly more perturbed with yeah. each passing button press.
Oh, boy.
But I feel like your comfort level is going to increase with it, and soon you will love it.
Maybe so.
As one loves it.
And maybe as I take the other one, I have the other one at home, and you show me how to use it, I'll remember, because you'll have taught me twice.
There we go.
There are some knobs that apparently don't do anything. So that's a load off.
Those are the yeah. You can just label those no or
nothing. Yeah,
yeah, just or nothing.
Irrelevant.
A zero
moot
symbol.
They're moot knobs.
The moot knob. Yeah, don't fuck with the moot knob. You'll accidentally dial in some meaningfulness.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's so wonderful though is that here I am slightly in your left ear,
and here's me. Right in the middle.
Right in the middle, and then Scully.
Here's me way over to the right.
Yeah.
And this is,
it reflects
fact,
where we're actually sitting in the
yeah,
room, so it's
that's
kind
our
of like
physical location.
It's kind of like you're here with us, except it doesn't smell bad like it usually does when you're here.
It's like you are right between the huge bottle of Jack Daniel's old number 7 brand and the computer monitor, a space that's normally too small to be occupied by a person.
You know,
but now you're there virtually.
I'm glad that I haven't reached the point in my in my internet celebrity that I'm disdainful of Jack Daniel's the way that you are. You just don't like it. You just don't like it. You think you're too good for it.
No.
You've
listen.
Always thought that you were too good for it. I mean, I think being from, you were telling stories about, oh yeah, back when I was in Berkeley, where everything is great, by the way. Have I mentioned how great it was?
Things are pretty great in Berkeley.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So they only have organic, cruelty-free microbrew.
You never stop talking about how much better you are than Jack Daniel's old number 7 Tennessee sour mash whiskey.
Well, I have two options. I could degrade myself to the point where I enjoyed the swill, or I can continue to appear like a pretentious jag-off whenever someone puts a lovely bottle of free whiskey right in front of me.
Yeah. Looks like some degradation.
We're going
is
for
to
deg.
Occur.
We're going the deg. Deg
you probably,
path.
You'll probably get struck by lightning if you mix it with the good expensive scotch.
That's good. Well, that stuff's gone.
But you don't even like. I feel like I've kind of upgraded to Maker's Mark lately as my default. This is just leftovers. This is leftovers from Con.
I know that Maker's Mark stuff is of high quality, and many of my snooty drinker buddies are like, oh yeah, the Maker's Mark, but it doesn't taste good to me. It's too harsh on the tongue. I'm essentially at heart a wimpy liquor consumer.
See, I only like things that hurt.
Oh yeah,
chewing on jawbreakers. You know, it's that kind of thing. Like, I like it when you're chomping on some, like you're chewing up some Jolly Ranchers, and then your teeth get stuck together in them, and you have to just like flex your jaw outward as hard as you can, and you're afraid that your teeth are going to fall out.
Well,
that's when I'm the happiest.
The teeth that have failed the evolutionary testing there.
Yeah, no, that's...
will stick to the Jolly Rancher and be replaced by technology teeth.
Right.
I was going to say by stronger teeth.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
teeth
that
will
that...
grow in. Yeah,
by stronger teeth.
Our mouths are a Darwinian microcosm.
Hmm.
That's what Carl Sagan taught me.
He found, like, a shitload of constellations on my tongue.
Cool.
That one time we hung out.
He was just staring at your tongue.
He left a shitload of constellations on my tongue.
Yeah. He was like he was looking through it, man. He was like, he could just see. He could see what was really going on.
That guy had like a mescaline spritzer. He used anytime someone went in his house, like you're trying to, you know, like you're trying to discipline a cat.
Yeah. Only he was trying to stop you from, you know, chewing up your own perceptions.
Yeah.
Instead of a houseplant.
I think he was just trying to be a good host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to make things more interesting for you.
Yeah. Because
he realizes how boring it is to go to a scientist's house.
He doesn't have TV. Like, you know, there's no magazines.
And he's constantly talking about how he doesn't have TV. Even now that he's dead, he's just got... There, I went by his grave, and he just wanted to make sure that even after he was dead, people continued to know that he didn't have a television.
Yeah,
he was like, you know, like, I've made hours and hours of television. You know, that Cosmo show? That was totally me. But I don't own a TV. It's just that on a loop playing out of a speaker. It's like in Vegas when there's those rocks out in front of the casino that have speakers hidden in them.
Oh, yeah.
They're not really rocks. They're fake rocks, but it's like that, only it's Carl Sagan's tombstone.
They're fake rocks?
Carl Sagan's tombstone is a fake rock.
I thought that was some really neat strain of rock that they discovered where if you drill holes in it and
they've crossbred other rocks. They spliced in Swiss cheese
genes.
They
used time travel to send the little speaker mechanism and its wire back in time so that it would become part of
the sedimentary process. Oh, so that it would land in some lava.
Well, the lava sometimes destroys the electronic components, but some of the slower acting rock formation that has occurred in the Earth's crust is totally fine for Vegas fake rocks.
That's why some of those things are so ridiculously expensive when you want to buy them for your home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, like large Roman statues that come to life and sing about gambling. Try and get one of those for your living room.
Yeah, what's weird is that they actually had to do the same thing. They had to send a robotic exoskeleton back in time to get inside an actual Roman statue.
That's right. And marble.
So it just had the instruction to... Do you suppose it was just a series of nanobots that was able to enter the marble through, like, the statue's mouth or butthole? Did you know that every statue that Michelangelo made of a human figure has a fully functioning digestive tract?
Does it?
I did.
Yeah, that's
that.
Why they celebrate him as a genius.
That's pretty amazing.
There's just
yeah,
a hole going all the way through.
How did he do that? He had, like...
With his penis, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's
before
impressive.
The marble set up.
Because your whole... your digestive tract is, like, 40 feet long, right?
So well, Michelangelo was famous for
it
a reason.
It is a penis like a duck. Yeah. Like, corkscrew and long and...
And prehensile.
Yeah.
Ducks do not have long, prehensile, corkscrew penises.
They do.
We can talk art history all we want, but I'm not going to let you mislead the KOL youth on the subject of duck biology. Yeah,
but duck women have, like, labyrinthine vaginas full of, like, rolling ball and sand traps.
Well, that part's true. Yeah.
Sand traps.
As far as I can... That's why all the female ducks are so pissed off.
Sand traps in the dungeon. Like an S trap. You find a hair trap. There's a grease trap in this room. It's protecting our cache of hair nets and filthy aprons.
I feel like the young people want to know about Con.
Do they? Con was fun. We had a bunch of people in town. Man, it seems like it's weird. It both went by really quickly and went by really slowly in the moment. Like, what even happened? On Thursday, we did the roller skating, and that was fun. Then we did a radio show.
We had a radio show Thursday.
We did a radio show right before the roller skating. No, there were no injuries. There were no injuries at drunken roller skating.
Right. That's because Deersire, who I had a hit on him that I was supposed to follow through on for his Liania, but he was already injured when he came, so... Mm. What I like is that he spent the rest of the time showing us how much better he was at skating than the rest of us.
Yeah, well, apparently he was injured in such a way that was one of the possible prostheses that he could wear that would make up for his injury was a pair of rollerblades.
Right.
So he was fine when he was on rollerblades, but when he wasn't on rollerblades, he had to be on crutches.
Let's see, what I liked was that the rest of the con, he was kind of limping around because he had overexerted himself, showing everybody up at the skating rink. Mm. I thought that was poetically justiced.
It was a fun con. Then we did Dave and Buster's on Friday. And you know what I managed to do? I managed to have an entire KOL con with zero hangovers.
Hmm.
I saw you Friday night at Dave and Buster's speaking on your plan to, you know, enact such high quality hangover management that you would not be debilitated at any point.
Mm-hmm.
In the weekend.
Yeah.
So you're saying success.
Yeah, success.
Why not just live that way?
Well, normally I do.
Can you call that living?
Right, I think that's the answer.
I comparatively rarely drink to the point where I have an unpleasant hangover. You know, it's usually a special occasion kind of thing now. You know, like, let's say I go hang out at your house in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm thinking every time I see you the next day, it's like Chernobyl cleanup committee.
Right, that's the problem, though, is that seeing you is a special occasion. I think of you, buddy. Like a holiday. But no, KOL Con, it's a double whammy because it's a special occasion. There is always a lot of drinking involved, and I'm always really nervous about being around the big crowds of people.
Of course.
Although that gets better and better with every passing year. But it also gets better and better with every passing glass of whiskey. So, you know,
wait a year or have another glass of whiskey.
Yeah.
For the impatient man, this is a difficult conundrum to...
Thursday, I had a hangover.
Yeah.
For most of the day, because that was the day of the Wednesday was the night of the barbecue at Keldar's.
You stayed up a lot later than I did.
Yeah, I stayed later than you, and I drank like six or eight beers and some shots, and I'm normally a single beer and no shots kind of guy at home, and so then I had to stay a little bit later and not drink so that I could drive myself home. But then the next day
was into con with no shots.
Pretty weird. Nobody checked my vaccination records.
If you had bitten somebody,
He did a couple of people.
Boy, you know, one thing that I saw a lot of over the course of the con weekend that I kind of wish I hadn't was a bunch of kind of heavyset dudes' dicks.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have heavyset dicks?
I didn't.
The set of the dick seemed to be fairly average.
I didn't.
You saw a heavyset set of dicks. A set of heavyset men's heavy dick sets.
Ready set.
Dot org.
Dicks. Go. Oh.
Heavyset set of dicks. .org.
There we go.
there was a at just about every party, and it, you know, I'm going to say that it was weird to me, and I'm going to say that that's a fault in myself, and that these people were not doing anything wrong by any stretch. They were doing what was appropriate for the scene. But say, at the Tex-Mers birthday party, I'm sitting there, I'm talking to Black Lotus, we're having deep philosophical discussion, and occasionally just somebody would walk fully clothed up to the pool, take off all their clothes, like right in front of me.
Yeah, I think the thing that was
jump
weird
into
about
the pool.
The thing that was almost them doing something wrong was, like, it's not a weird thing for six or eight people at a party to skinny dip, but it is weird if the pool is perfectly well lit and 3 feet from 50 other people.
That's
a little weird.
No, because I come from hippie world California, right?
Right.
I just grew up around floppy, flapping, non beautiful nudity. Mm-hmm. And that just seemed very normal. It's still embarrassing to you as a young person, but it's like it seems normal. And I'm surprised it seems weird to you guys, since you know after seven cons that your crowd
this
is
was
like the
first
biggest
time
bunch
that,
of hedonists and
true,
nudists.
But this was the first time that, like, early in the evening when everyone's comparatively sober. Like, these were not people getting drunk and losing their inhibitions and skinny dipping. These are people who just enjoy skinny dipping and do it all the time.
Party, you know?
And every time they were right. The difference between me and Jake is that I would have been less dismayed if it had only been women doing that, or at least stripping right in front of me. But Jake would have been equally dismayed.
Yeah, no, I would have been disgusted, I think, by having to see a bunch of boobs.
Yeah.
Well, boobs are dirty.
They are. They are.
I mean, not like the majestic penis.
The dirty pillows. That's what they are.
Yep. You don't know where those have been. You don't know.
I'm pretty sure they've been slightly to the left and right of someone's sternum, or in some cases, navel.
Mm. They've been in a shirt mostly, but not always at night.
Yeah, but you don't know where that shirt's been.
Ah.
Mm.
It's been to the drawer. It's been to the laundromat.
I know that my wife left the concert with a new shirt.
Oh.
Yeah,
wait,
I remember my mom.
Oh, that's right. She was shirt swapping up.
My mom saying something about that. Somebody bought Jess's shirt.
Yeah. At that point, I was a little drunk, so I didn't do a great job of explaining the situation to your mom.
Okay.
Jess saw a girl who had a really pretty shirt on. The girl with a really pretty shirt on came up to her and said, "Oh my God, I love your shirt." And Jess was like, "Well, I'll trade you."
Before that even happened.
And she was like, "Okay, just, you know, grab me your shirt," and she's like, "Well, you know, I actually like the shirt that I'm wearing," says my wife, "but we could probably get you a KOL shirt," and she's like, "Oh, okay, just bring me the shirt and I'll change out of it." And
before that happened, your wife cited the shirt that she would soon own and said to me, "I'm getting that shirt off
did
that
she?
Girl." Yeah, yeah. So you
one
you
way
it
or
sound,
the other.
You make it sound
wish,
like a like
I wish
a very
it would have been a hotter way.
Well,
I was like, "Oh, you want to trade me shirts?"
Did you see the transaction?
No, I was too busy watching Freeze Pop.
Yeah, I think. But I don't know that
so
she
you were hoping
you
that it would be a McDonald's commercial based on the logo that
actually I was going for the Seinfeld theme.
Yeah, okay.
I was hoping it would be
Michael Richards would run in to a fanfare of applause.
Mm-hmm.
And
God, I'm glad that show's off the air.
I'm ambivalent.
A fan.
I'm totally indifferent to it. I don't think that Jerry Seinfeld is funny.
He's not, and I found the whole thing just irritating.
How do you feel about Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Less irritating, because I like those. Because Seinfeld always sort of stood at the border of, but never crossed into, like, cringe comedy. I guess that shit hadn't really totally been invented yet.
Like, just the sort
it
of awkwardness as entertainment.
Like The Office, The Comeback, Parks and Rec. It's like all the comedy is surrounding people, like, just
being
embarrassing the shit out of themselves and being horribly uncomfortable. And it's a little dark. I like my comedy a little dark. Mm. And Seinfeld had no hint of darkness, even though everyone was treating each other like dicks all the time. And that seemed to be the hook, but you just wanted them to stop. And
how,
like,
did you feel about
away.
Malcolm in the Middle?
I love that show. Right?
Hot Stuff hated it because everybody was always yelling.
Yeah.
That's my problem with Everybody Loves Raymond.
Is that you hate it because everybody is always loving Raymond?
No, everybody's always mean to each other.
Huh. Yeah. What did you like? Married with Children.
Yeah, see, I thought Married with Children was a show that, like, was reacting to kind of the saccharine atmosphere of sitcoms at that point by being the opposite, in like, an ironic kind of parody way, parodying this thing by, like, going overboard in its depiction of the opposite. But then that just became the norm.
Right.
And so, like, every family comedy was then.
Like, that was the norm on Married with Children. Who was Cliff? Marcy Darcy was the Cliff.
No, we're talking about shows as characters.
So Married with Children was the norm. Frasier. What show was the Frasier? Damn it, man! If I had thought of that, if I thought about that a little more before I opened my mouth, it would have been a funnier joke.
Well, the funny thing is, Frasier was actually the Diane.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Saturday we had a concert that couldn't be beat. There were a large number of people in the forums lamenting the mix during the Freeze Pop show. Huh. And every time I was like, "Oh, Freeze Pop, that seems like they're going to be cool. I want to go in and listen to this band and see what they sound like." I would go in there and I would listen and I'd be like, "I still don't know what this band sounds like because it's kind of just like white noise coming out of the speakers."
Really?
See, I didn't think that. I couldn't hear the vocals very clearly, but I thought the point of the band was more just the sound that they made with the synths and everything.
Their vocals are always kind of airy.
I mean, it's not like the lyrics are they? I mean, I can't really hear the lyrics.
Definitely in their recordings, which is, I assume, what they're trying to capture in the live show.
I bought it. We found there was a kid that walked by when I was out smoking in the alley, throwing dice with my posse. Kid walked by and was really excited about both KOL and Freeze Pop. It was like, "Oh, this is so great. I can't even believe it's like KOL and Freeze Pop." I'm like, "Oh, is Freeze Pop good?" He's like, "Yes." I'm like, "If I was going to buy one of their albums, which one should I buy?" And he told me, he was like, "The one with plastic stars on it." And then by the time I got to the Freeze Pop merch table, I was like, "I forgot the name of the song that I'm supposed to buy the album that it's on, but it's Plastic Something." And the guy behind the merch table, who I thought was a member of Freeze Pop, was like, "Yeah, I don't know." I'm like, you don't know if there's a song with the word plastic in it? And then some fan came up and told me which album it was.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't a guy from Freeze Pop.
Was it the skinny fella?
I don't know. There were too many skinny fellas.
There was a dude working there who definitely wasn't in the band.
Okay. They had a dedicated merch dude, and then also their manager, Jason, was
the dedicated
there.
Merch dude, like, it seems like the only criteria for a dedicated merch dude would either be like, "Oh, this is some girl with big tits who is not afraid to bounce them around to try and sell people our CDs," but like knowing anything about the products you were selling, right? Like,
criteria for a merch dude for an indie band is willingness to sit still and low likelihood of accidentally flushing all the money down the toilet during a bathroom break.
Okay. Or stealing stuff.
Like the standards are pretty
low. Or selling the stuff and then spending the money on crack.
That has happened.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's
and there were a lot of people selling crack at the
show. Okay.
You know, somebody proposed the notion, and this literally never once occurred to me in trying to figure out how the people that we were aware of who were just really kind of making a 72 hours of nonstop consciousness of con, never even occurred to me that maybe some of them were taking advantage of a little bit of the old toot, a little bit of the old Charlie. Never occurred to me that among our crowd there would be any of those kind of hijinks going on.
But
it kind of makes sense. There were a lot of people who just didn't sleep, I think.
I think it's methamphetamines.
You think it's methamphetamines?
That's way more popular in, like, desert regions.
That's just because there's nothing to do except teen pregnancy.
Right? Yeah. Hey, guys, you guys want to go out and do some teen pregnancy? We did that last month.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that one to wear off.
Do some meth instead. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there are two things to do. Is teen pregnancy and cow tipping. And the problem is that if you're a little bit drunk, you could end up knocking up a cow and tipping over a girl. And that's not going to win you any friends. I don't know, because people who say it's their first con and they're not really social and maybe are having some anxiety, they're going to be sweating profusely and talking really loud and really fast.
That's what I did on stage.
Because they're nervous, right? And you were on meth. But see, that's the thing. You can't really differentiate between somebody who's got social anxiety and
those aren't the people I'm talking about. The number of people at the LARP who were still awake from the previous day.
Oh, this is their special occasion.
There
so
was
they
that
just
party
aside...
that never stopped at
yeah.
I over was at Mr. Green Smiling's
six
abode.
In the morning. I was there till so late.
Yeah, we got home at 5.
I had to get up at 9 to wizard.
I got
some
up at 8:30. It was fun.
See, so you didn't have any sleep, but you did. You caught up last night.
You were the superstar of the LARP. Apparently, whoever is in the frat room is always the one who everybody was like, "Man, that guy was great."
I think it just lends itself to characterization.
To staying in character.
It really sounded like people were having fun over at the carnival, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely, like, people talked about the good energy and all of the games being fun in the carnival room, and I think people were just willing to, like, cut me some slack in my characterization of the wizard, which is, like, most of my stories were like, and I don't remember the backstory of this encounter, but there's a worm, and he's attacking you.
Are there pictures that people can look at of the LARP?
Probably.
When I came to visit last year, I was struck by how awesome all of the life-sized graphics were.
The props are neat.
It's like I made KOL.
And give you mad.
I want to. Where props. Can we direct them? Is there a URL?
I don't know. I'm sure that Data Vortex took video and a bunch of pictures, and we'll post them somewhere on a Flickr stream or whatever the young kids are using for their photos these days. Probably just a YouTube slideshow. Mm-hmm. You know, the young kids, when they share music with you, they just send you a link to a YouTube video.
That's right.
You've mentioned that.
YouTube, yeah. Any song that's ever been published, YouTube, you just type it in and it pops right up.
Yeah, with something playing in the front, like normally just maybe like a still shot of the name of the song or something.
I feel, as a person who puts music out, I feel fine about that because like the YouTube quality is pretty low and the options for like ripping and keeping are unsatisfying. And it's like just a great way to like DJ for yourself as if you were listening to some radio.
Right.
And it can only...
A radio that was in the bottom of a garbage can at the bottom of a well.
So the quality's low enough that nobody could possibly care about their music getting pirated onto there. But I find this all the time. Some of a lot of the people posting these songs are those shitty Russian pay-for-download MP3 sites that trick people into thinking they're like legally downloading music at a wonderful discount. They're like, well, I paid for it. You know, it was like, oh, you paid 8 cents a song and the money went to, you know, steal my funky integers.ru, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then
steal my funky integers.ru, like steel.
Yes,
like,
you want to
like, gird them against the coming storm.
There's also gird my funky integers. there's fortify my fractions.ru.
Okay.
So they're basically all on the same theme, but none of them.
Shellac my irrationals.
Shellac my irrationals.net.ru. XXX.
Could
anyway,
put that cool Batman armor on a list of primes.
Annoy the shit out of me. And if I had a legion of mindless internet bots who could complain to YouTube for each of those, I would sick them on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fans put up the song. It's like awesome, thumbs up.
Right.
And those Russian bastards put it up with a link to buy this right now to their bullshit website.
It's like
that's
and,
the part of
like
piracy
and,
I don't
and
like.
World of Warcraft players with stupid names.
The
only times that I ever complain about anything is when I see a World of Warcraft player with a stupid name.
On WoW, you're not allowed to have a stupid name, right?
Yeah,
officially.
Theoretically, you're not allowed to have a stupid name. Like, you're not allowed to have... Their naming policy is like... And I think this kind of bit them in the ass. I think their naming policy was that you can't have a name that's, like, more than one word. Hmm. But then it's like you can't name a character Deathstalker or, you know, Shadowblades or whatever. And, you know, people need to be able to name their characters things like that.
They do.
But,
that's true.
But yeah, no. It's just things that somehow... Things that are naughty, but somehow... You know, naughty, but not, like, vulgar in a way that a computer would notice.
Like Jingle Pants.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
That's my friend's WoW handle. Jingle Pants. That's a bad... That's not...
Jingle Pants,
that
yeah.
That takes you a little out of the world.
I feel like
I
that's
I could
see
stupid. A jester named Jingle Pants in a kind of a medieval... No.
Yeah, if it was like Star Wars Galaxies, where you could be a jester, But
you
it's
can
not,
be a jester in Star Wars Galaxies.
It's fun. You can be a dancer.
He's a woman with a sword and a round bottom. I think
a woman with a sword and a round bottom. I did see a female paladin once named Holy Jugs, which I thought was kind of funny, so I didn't report it.
But you have like a macro set up to report.
No, it's not a macro. It's only happened a handful of times. There was once a Tauren druid, fairly high level, named Poon Eater.
Poon, of course, is one of the mystical final bosses in the 47th cave on the expansion pack.
Are you sure that you're not parsing that incorrectly?
Poon Eater, someone who's just trying to tidy up. Yeah, well, he's a druid, so he cares about the woods, and so he wants people to be more orderly in their defecations so that it doesn't taint the landscape.
Taint.
The giant mountain of poop.
Or landscape that taint.
Mr. Skullhead hates the word taint.
What? Why? What do you prefer?
I just
grundle?
Along.
Do you like grundle?
I'm playing along now.
He just doesn't want to talk about
I don't like
he,
the
he doesn't,
that section
he doesn't
skin.
Feel yeah he also feels that shart is just a it's a it, the
it's
word
an excuse
is
to talk about
it
things
shouldn't,
you shouldn't
yeah it's something that you shouldn't mento. Talk about
but, you shart you no, shart my, not to talk about that at all
yeah that's the 11th commandment thou shart not shart
thou shart
not
shart
the
shart week
my every week
every,
live
every live
week,
week like it's shart week
this month on the bowel channel it's shart week
I don't get the bowel channel anymore.
You don't?
Stupid cable company. Now, my problem with taint is not that it refers to an area of skin that you shouldn't talk about. It's
etymology. Etymology is really douchey.
The etymology is, it's the stretch of skin that taint your balls and it taint your asshole.
But is that real or is that apocryphal?
I'm wondering how else you could have come up with taint for...
Well, let's look it up on...
No.
Give me a credible source. Wiki. Give me a... Give me Urban Dictionary.
Filthwiki.
Filthwiki.
Filthwiki dot shart.
Dot shart. Clownfart dot
clown
dick.
Clown penis dot fart.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Back on Saturday Night Live was funny.
Yeah.
There was a very small overlap in Saturday Night Live being funny and the internet being a thing.
The internet's a whole thing now, isn't it?
Good old Phil Hartman.
Should we take questions from the chat room?
Oh, I suppose we could take some questions.
I mean, we don't have to. We can talk about other things. When you were talking about WoW not letting you have two words in your name, you reminded me that I accidentally watched G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra on Netflix streaming the other day.
Accidentally?
You would be amazed at how hard it is to press the go away button. And you might accidentally press the play now G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra button if you were, say... physically or mentally impaired. So, this movie's not very good, right? But it has one good joke in it, and it's near the beginning, and that caused me to watch the whole thing just to find out if whoever put that joke in the script had been allowed to deal with any other part of the script.
And did it turn out that no?
The answer was no. But there was, a bunch of the characters have their G.I. Joe names, right? Which are clearly nicknames bestowed on them for some specific reason. But then they have flashback to when Storm Shadow is a child, and his name is just Storm Shadow.
Excellent.
That's the name of this small boy who lives at who's an orphan at the Kung Fu Academy. And I felt that was
stupid.
Is that
like Johnny Storm Shadow or...
And that was the funny thing? Or?
No, that was that was weirdly the dumbest thing I remember about that
movie.
What was
the funny thing?
I know there were other dumb things about that movie. The funny joke was about the other ninja character, the good ones, Snake Eyes. And he's there in the plane, and the neophyte character, Duke, is being introduced to the other G.I. Joe members. And he's like, oh, you know, what are you? I was a demolitions expert, blah, blah, blah. And this is so-and-so. And he does whatever his special skill is. And then... And he's like, what about you? He says to Snake Eyes. And Scarlet's like, he doesn't speak. Duke goes, why? She says, he doesn't say. And I thought that was really funny.
That's a good joke.
That was pretty funny.
He doesn't speak. Why? He doesn't say. It was just, it was high quality. And then the rest of the quality of the film was... as expected.
Boy, speaking of high quality, I watched a second episode of the short-lived 1983 CBS series Wizards and Warriors. Equal quality to the first episode that I watched.
I haven't heard about this at all.
So that is awesome. That's unironically a show worth watching?
I am genuinely enjoying it. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. I guess it's possible that I have developed that thing that people have where they want to watch things that are bad.
Hmm.
You know, it is campy, to be sure. But the writing is sort of genuinely clever. It's very, you know, the characterizations are really over the top. You know, there is the haughty princess who is played by, she's played by the girl who played the haughty princess on Newhart.
Like Julia Duffy?
Julia Duffy.
Really?
Yeah.
The blonde?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And she's the same character. Right, and but she's a princess.
But she's an actual princess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A literal princess in Castle Baldorf.
Baldorf.
Yeah, Baldorf.
You're just fucking with me.
No, it's Baaldorf. It's Castle Baldorf.
All right.
Yeah. No, and it follows the exploits of Prince Eric Greystone and his nemesis, Dirk Blackpool. Dirk Blackpool. How is that for a villain's name?
You have no choice but to be a villain.
You don't.
Or a porn star.
Hmm.
Mm.
It was Dirk Blackhole.
Pool.
Dirk
Black. Yeah. Dirk. Yeah.
Mm. Dirk Blackpole.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be here
Black
all week.
Blackpole Dirk.
Blackpole.
Now you're just putting the syllables in different order.
Yeah, that was my goal.
Okay. Success.
That's frequently the funniest thing that you can do, is just repeat something with the syllables in a different order. I mean, really, there aren't that many syllables, right? So all we're doing, even the cleverest of us, even a David Foster Wallace or a Carrot Top,
are
really just rearranging syllables that already exist, right?
That's true. Well, Carrot Top also rearranges toys.
No, those are also syllables.
That's true. Yeah.
Some of the giant, you know, oversized novelty syllables. A bow tie is a syllable.
Some of them made from foam, others from brick. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, KOLCon was fun. We had a concert that couldn't be beat. We had a LARP that got beat by some dudes.
Yeah, unfortunately, one of the dudes was on our payroll, which has led to some grumbling amongst the ranks.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's on our payroll because he's very good at figuring out games beating them.
Yeah. Was there real grumbling?
I don't think so. I think there was a... The grumbling was mainly that they're so good at stuff.
Oh. Yeah, they are pretty good at stuff.
I mean, it was Mr. Magnifico and C.D. Moyer and Lucifer.
So it's like, you know, Mr. Mag just knows. The thing about Mr. Mag is that he always knows what we're going to do. He will suggest something that I'm planning on doing already. So what he had to do was just spend a little bit of time thinking about what the LARP might be like, and then he just had the entire LARP in his head.
I must admit, when I saw them in our room and the way that they ran their crew, not only did they work very well together and use all of the possible skills they could with each other, but then they actually seriously thought about which one of these is more likely to do this, and we've already learned which of these combats kicks the collectibles out, and
right.
they were really, like, watching them go, I kind of figured they would win.
And what's nice is that they do that without being annoying.
Excuse me.
About it. Like, you know,
they didn't come in and say, well, this totally sucks, balls, so I'm sure, I can figure this shit out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, not that there was much of that, you know, but right. But it was like...
compared to our forums and how people...
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and just the approach to this kind of thing. And just, I feel like you think about the personality type that is going to kind of try and optimize and kind of rules lawyer their way into success at something like that, and that's not what they act like, you know?
Yeah.
They're just a good bunch of dudes. A good bunch of dudes. Boy, did I play a lot of Thunderstone last night, and boy, do I like playing a lot of Thunderstone.
That game looks complex.
It's not really. It's surprisingly not complex.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, you have a fairly limited number of verbs.
Okay.
You know, like although you are disdainful of Magic the Gathering. You're not a complicated game. What kind of games do you like to play?
I gotta say, I'm not like totally disdainful of Magic. I understand the appeal. I begrudge no one.
You wrote a scathing parody song.
I did. But that song is not so much about Magic sucking. It's about how I don't enjoy playing Magic. And because Brandon would try to teach me it back in the day by sitting me down and explaining the rules in great detail and then whomping my ass using, you know, because every card he would pull out of his deck, that's sort of the appeal of Magic in a way, is that every card has, like, you know, morphs the rules in some way. But I didn't like that, where it's like I would spend, you know, I'd spend 20, 30 minutes, like, wrapping my head around the mechanic, and then it's like everything that actually happens thwarts the mechanic and makes me lose worse. And then I just felt like a loser at the end. So then I wrote
a song
about
that.
Maybe
you should play it with a mechanic who you don't particularly care for. Someone who's overcharged you for some kind of car repair.
Yes.
And then, like, continually thwarting and warping the mechanic will actually bring you pleasure.
And maybe you'll get a discount. Maybe something you can play for points off of the repair bill.
I quite liked both of the games I played last night.
What did you play last night?
They were cash compared to things like Magic.
I played Bang the Bullet.
Bang, which is an old
Bang the Bullet. So somebody got me Bang, but it was called the game is called Bang, but the product was Bang the Bullet because it was a game.
This was packaged
in a big bullet.
Oh really?
Yeah, or you know like a. Like a novelty bullet themed Goetze butt plug. A Goetze scale butt plug.
A Goetze scale.
Yeah. Oh, God. I want to start measuring things on the Goetze scale.
Yeah, here. Absolutely.
A 4.5 Goetze earthquake struck. Yeah, that was.
There was a sinkhole in Oklahoma.
This newly discovered strain of chili pepper is 4.5 Goetze is on the Scoville meter.
So I played Bang, and that was really fun. I got to be the sheriff both times. The second time...
And your roles are picked sort of randomly, and
yeah.
Does everyone know that you're the sheriff?
Everyone knows who the sheriff is, but the other roles are obscured.
Okay, so there are outlaws killed. And there are deputies?
There's a couple of outlaws, a renegade, and deputy or deputies.
Hmm. Does the renegade fight crime?
The renegade, actually, his goal is to be the last man standing. So that's his only way that player can win. So he's pretty much teaming up against law enforcement with the outlaws until law enforcement's eliminated and then trying to destroy the outlaws.
I see. So like Bruce Willis can only win if he's the last Boy Scout.
Exactly.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger if he's the last action hero.
Yes.
And
the last airbender would also have a chance at prevailing.
Right. The last starfighter.
As the renegade character. Last starfighter, yes. You know that the book Ender's Game is going to be made into a film, but it was already made into The Last Starfighter. Hollywood style.
Yeah. I'm putting all of my money on Tango in Paris in that fight anyway.
I feel like we talked about this in one of the previous radio shows.
Is what? We talked about how The Last Starfighter is a retelling of the Ender's Game story?
Of Ender's Game, yeah.
I guess... Ender's Game was written maybe 3 years before The Last Starfighter came out.
Is that it? I thought it was from the 70s.
No, Ender's Game I think was written in 79 or 80.
Okay.
And The Last Starfighter I feel like was early.
Pretty 80s. Early 80s, yeah. 84 maybe. Will Wheaton's in that really briefly, I think.
Is he?
I think so.
Is he the
guy's friend?
He's not the crazy brown, rough-skinned alien guy?
No. I don't think he has many lines.
I think he would have been pretty young. The brother's friend.
Huh. The other game I played last night was even less complicated, and it was called Plague and Pestilence, and as I understand it, it's out of print, and so the card set that we were playing is worth hundreds of dollars on the collectibles market.
Hmm.
So I tried not to, like, fuck up the cards real bad.
Tried to sweat on them?
Well, you know, there is no sweating indoors in Arizona because everyone's air conditioning is robust, but if we had played out back... I would have fucking ruined those cards.
But your sweat evaporates almost immediately on account of it's a dry heat.
Some of it drips out of my hat.
You know, I can sweat here faster than it can evaporate. That is a contest that I repeatedly win.
You're really good at sweating.
Yeah.
You practiced.
I'm professional.
All throughout high school.
Yep. Thanks for bringing back those painful
memories. You're not a sweat flop, as it was.
Was that another syllable rearranging?
It was.
Okay.
It was. Although those are words. Those are whole words.
One syllable words.
And sweat.
Yeah.
Okay. No, fair enough. They are one syllable words.
Okay.
The jokes. Jokes are funny. Sometimes.
Especially when you explain
at their best
the nature of their humor.
I guess. I'm told that sometimes jokes are funny.
Did you see that there's some blog that explains the joke on every XKCD comic?
Oh, yeah, I did see
that.
It
seems clear that they're saying XKCD sucks so bad and we're going to prove it by showing you how transparent this humor is.
That is an anti-XKCD website.
I don't understand. I don't understand why somebody would burn so many calories doing that.
Right.
You know? I understand the destruction of Marmaduke. There's a similar blog.
Sure.
Marmaduke Explained. You've read that.
We haven't.
You haven't?
Oh.
You could write, there's...
Brilliant.
What are the cranky comic guy or whatever?
Comics Curmudgeon.
Yeah, Comics Curmudgeon is that he writes a couple of paragraphs of kind of just funny critique of comics. And to me, that's funny. But to say, like, I hate this comic, so every week I'm going to write how dumb it is that you know, this obvious joke, or that this joke is obscure.
And the thing that's annoying about it is what he's really saying is, did you come over here because you like XKCD? Here's a paragraph about what an asshole you must be for having enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know,
it's kind of like, fuck you, buddy.
I feel like
let me enjoy my scribbly thing with nerd comedy jokes, fucker. Yeah.
You're never going to convince anyone that something is overrated. You're just not. You're never going to convince anyone. Like, man, the Beatles suck and are overrated. You know what? No, they're not. I like them.
I don't know. I think there's this little period in your early 20s, maybe, like your late teens, early 20s, where a lot of people seem to be grasping hold of their critical facilities and trying to develop them into their personality, and they're like on a hunt down for things that are overrated. And you see that in like the punk rock personality and indie snobbery
but
personality.
But are they going to Pitchfork, and Pitchfork is telling them that things are overrated, or are they just figuring out like, you know, I just don't like this as much as I used to.
I don't know if they're coming up with it themselves, if they're just reacting to their shifting, like, tastes and needs, but I feel like it is a sort of a subject, like, it's a piece of cultural currency, like, oh, you know, well, you thought the Monkees were brilliant last month, but I'm telling you, everyone is wrong about how great the Monkees are, and then you, like, try and convince someone else of that, and, like, you get a point or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I'm kind of out of touch with this, but I'm remembering that that's what people I hung out with in my early 20s.
I feel like with stuff that is good, right? I mean, like, people who are like, yeah, you know, stop talking about how great the Beastie Boys are. The Beastie Boys are lame, and it doesn't make any sense that everybody likes them. Like, you know, you don't get to say that, right? Like, although I would say the same thing about the fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, there you go. You think they're overrated.
Then he's right.
Is overrated different from overappreciated? I do think too many people love the shit out of the Chili Peppers. I think they could be enjoying something else just as much.
I mean, I guess there are things that I think, you know, are not horrible, but maybe don't deserve the vehemence of fandom that they get sometimes. So, like, you know, The Big Lebowski is great, but, like, shut the fuck up about The Big Lebowski. You know?
So that's different from trying to convince
All right, that
someone.
Aggression will not stand, man.
That's different from trying to convince
someone
that it's overrated.
Napoleon Dynamite was...
sick of hearing it.
I liked it, but what I didn't like was our one friend who just wouldn't stop saying everything in that voice.
That's the Austin Powers syndrome, I feel.
Right. Although I actually didn't really care for Austin Powers.
I rather liked the first one.
I thought the first one was funny.
Yeah. The second one was overrated.
That's so funny. We started out talking about how nothing could be overrated, and now we're discussing things.
No, you can't convince. You can't convince anybody that something is overrated. Like, yes. It's funny when somebody makes a blog trying to convince the people who like something that they're wrong about liking it.
Right.
You know, like, I guess I just... I don't know what it is that you're actually trying to accomplish when you do that. Like, that
page views.
But, I mean, and you just feel good? You feel good that you're writing things and people are reading them?
Yes.
I mean, because
I was 16 or so, and playing around on BBSs, I found a thread on one of the forums that was devoted to Nine Inch Nails. It was like a little sub-forum. This is where you go to talk about Nine Inch Nails. So I was like, well, what do I have to say about Nine Inch Nails? I think Nine Inch Nails fucking sucks. So I posted in there, like, if I can only explain how bad this band sucks, then, you know, other people who agree with me will talk about it with me, and then maybe some of the people will go, you know what? This whole Nine Inch Nails bullshit we've been listening to, it kind of sucks. So I was hoping to open a dialogue, really, but it turns out that what I was doing was trolling. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as people started responding with... shut up, asshole, you don't know anything about Nine Inch Nails, he's a genius and I want to have his babies, that gave me kind of a thrill, you know, so I continued to post my very real opinions on Nine Inch Nails, but in that completely inappropriate forum, and only a couple of years later did I learn that that's a thing that people do that you're not supposed to do, yeah.
Well, who says you're not supposed to do it? I mean...
But I was a troll before I knew what trolling was.
If you're a man, you're not supposed to wear a dress. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that.
Unless it's a kilt, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, so are you saying, like, either shit or get off the pot if you're going to cross-dress? Don't just sit there and fart by wearing a kilt.
Yeah, I guess
so. Go ahead and take that whole dump.
No, that's
and put on a dress.
It's not, yeah, it's not.
Kilts are the sharting of it's easy. Cross-dressers.
And what the thing is, kilts are, if I'm going to be wearing something and I shart, I would rather it be a kilt.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's open on the bottom like a nice,
or an adult
like a nice
diaper.
Like a nice sundress, but it's robust enough that the shart won't soak all the way through
right.
the back of it.
Solid.
I have right, some you got deer. Some thick, nice tartan.
Got some shartan.
It's shartan tartan.
Shartan tartan. The shartan tartans. I've got some dear friends who wear kilts.
Yeah?
I really do, yeah.
We many. Have some it's awesome like people some that, you know, like,
Hacks and Forcer buddies.
Is cool.
Like, incredibly, like, charming, intelligent people. They just happen to feel liberated genitally by that particular man skirt, and they will wear it. And I've been around it so much that I don't even like it's no longer even alarming to me that these people aren't at a Scottish wedding.
I mean, I guess it's just like I don't know. You know, it's like wearing a trench coat, say, right?
Or a fedora.
Yeah. Say. I'm not going to be all, you know, like, "Oh, you have to do what's fashionable." But like I feel like largely people wear kilts because they want to stand out for the sake of standing out, and I'm like not I don't know.
But you're forgetting that for fat dudes, pants are a burden. Have you not forgotten that?
Well, I don't know if it was so much forgetting as not buying it.
You don't buy it?
Pants are a burden for
pants
a fat
are
dude.
A burden.
These are not. It's never
they don't
fat
fit,
guys.
They don't fit
it's
right.
never
really?
Fat guys in kilts. Oh, I never see like fat guys.
So
in
my
kilts.
my buddies in the kilts, they're rocking some extra pants.
You know, so I have two models for, two fashion models.
Two fashion models wearing kilts.
Yeah, two fashion
That's
models
hot.
Wearing kilts. There are two types that I've
two
seen.
Two fashion models wearing kilts. It's a cookbook!
No, two fashion model wearing a kilt. First, you make the model out of clay.
Right.
Anyway, so I feel like you get the people who are, you know, like a Renfesty type or, you know, that particular type of nerd who wears the kilt is completely comfortable in it. It's just like they're wearing pants. Like, you could talk to them for a while and not even notice.
Okay, I don't have a problem with people wearing a kilt at the Ren Fair.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking like the Iluro Dragon type of kilt wear.
Yeah, knock it
like,
off.
I don't
That's
notice.
What I think
no, yeah, what I think. I don't even notice that dude is wearing a kilt because he's not constantly talking about his kilt. The other guy is wearing the kilt instead of developing a personality.
He has a t-shirt that says, "Ask me about my kilt."
Yeah, well, it's the
his
equivalent
boots
of
say,
the
hey, kilt's up here, buddy.
Yeah, right across the toe. But it's the equivalent of that XKCD shirt that, you know, maybe if the shirt is clever enough, someone will like me. It's like, you can talk to me because I'm the interesting guy in the kilt.
Right.
And every conversation just works back to kilts and what is or isn't under them. So, like, that model of kilt wear, I'm not a big fan of, but some dude is just walking around in a kilt and it's no big deal. You know, maybe I'm going to get to see his junk.
Hey, I've had
maybe
like,
that's going to be awesome.
I've had like five, I think this is my sixth drink.
Yeah.
How far into the show are we?
Hour and 15 minutes.
Out of three?
Out of 45 minutes. we're late. No, out of 45 minutes left, I hit that button on the DVD menu inside my brain and switched from like duration
to remain.
Yeah. Man, I even hate the DVD remote control inside my brain because it is a DVD remote control.
They're the worst.
Yeah, they are. They're the worst, except for maybe microwaves. I'm reading a book about where this scientist says that I'm right.
Oh, the design of things?
Yeah, the design of everyday things.
Like, you, who's easily confused by technology, and that confusion translates to irritation fairly quickly. You're totally right. It's because it's designed poorly that you're frightened and confused.
My mom's...
You're rubbing two sticks together underneath a bag of microwave popcorn rather than use your microwave.
My mother's microwave has the worst UI I've ever seen on an appliance.
Bad UIs are endemic to microwaves. And UIs, I feel like, are endemic to microwaves and to DVD remote controls.
Definitely. But I have a little sympathy for the DVD remote control maker because they have all these buttons that have to have equal weight because anyone can author their DVD menu the wrong way.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of conflict there, but microwaves all do exactly the same fucking... They shoot rays at your food, which heats the molecules, the wet ones, right? So...
Yeah, so The thing is, people will say the microwave interface does not need 50 buttons on it, right? People will say whoever uses the defrost mode, and you know, I occasionally use the defrost mode on the microwave. I occasionally use the popcorn button on a microwave.
Popcorn button's great. I got no beef with the popcorn button.
But there, you know, a lot of people who, when I start complaining about this, they're like, "Yeah, and what the fuck is up with that popcorn button?" And I'm like, "Oh no, the popcorn button's cool. It can
stay."
You
want to cook something on my mom's microwave? You stick the food in, close the door. There's a knob. You press the knob.
You press the knob to wake it up.
You start twirling it. You have to knob down through a long list of food types, such as fish, soup, beverage, plate reheating.
Like, and just, I mean, what about fish soup? What if you
sitting
had a,
there
what
like,
if you had a fish soup in a tumbler that you were planning on drinking?
You're sitting
is
there,
that fish
you're
soup or beverage?
Doing this fucking mental exercise, like, what is the food that I wish to make warm closest to? And then you get all the way to the bottom. You eventually learn this and just go down to the bottom. And the bottom is, like, manual. And then you're like, oh, well, that was what I wanted in the first place.
Oh, because I'm trying to heat up this, this Chilton book about my 1987 Dodge Ram.
And then you have to click again the knob on the time and dial in the amount of time, click it again, dial down past doneness to start, click on... It's the worst UI on earth, and, like, I can't imagine someone who didn't grow up with computers being able to heat food with this thing at all, unless they press the popcorn button, which is right there and works great.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could just pretend that everything is popcorn.
Now, that is an approach. Now, okay,
or
here's
you could
the
only
microwave.
Eat popcorn.
Best microwave UI ever? Microwave at my house.
Yeah? Describe it.
Okay. It's a box. It's a door. No button. You just grab it and pull it open.
Right.
Right? Okay. Put the food in, close the door. Two knobs. Power goes from the least amount to the most amount.
Right.
Very clearly, you just like... Yeah. The other one, how much time? Just, tick, 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 tick. It goes like an egg timer.
Agreed.
That's it. Dings
see,
when
I,
it's done.
And those prefer are the cheapest microwave. I prefer a digital readout for time.
Such a fancy pants.
If I want to do something for 3 minutes and 13 seconds,
yeah.
By God, it better be 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, thing is the accuracy of those knobs. I mean, a knob with an interface, with a digital interface.
I'm dialing it in approximation style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I'm sure also it's leaking, like, sperm-destroying, mutant-making...
Oh, so that's another bonus.
It's like a $35 microwave.
I know, but that's the thing. I have a fancy microwave that came with my house, and I have a $35 microwave that I bought because I need a microwave in my bedroom closet. And
it's in case your socks aren't warm.
Yeah.
When you wake up.
Yeah. It's weird, though. You got to get them wet.
you got to get them wet.
Or dry, warm them
a
up.
A dry
yeah.
sock will not microwave.
Yeah, and then when it's like, oh, these socks are nice and warm, but they're also wet, so why did I do this? Why did I spend $35 on it? And, you know, even though it sucks, I have to do it every morning.
Every morning.
The sunk cost of the microwave is extra. Damn it. I'm just switching to flip-flops. Fuck it. But the one feature that microwave does not afford is a timer. Right.
Okay.
So I often use the microwave timer if I'm supposed to cook something in a saucepan
for 6 minutes.
Oh, like
your kitchen timer.
Yeah.
No, those are good. And it's only like takes 7 dialings and 5 clicks of the knob to get the timer function working.
Once you learn
you have to use that knob to get the light on.
Wow.
I hate that thing.
If you actually pushed a button to activate a relay to open the door, that would be one better.
Activates the electric magnets, which...
One thing, I read this really long essay about microwaves and how they work, and I got a lot less worried about the microwave actually being bad for you.
Oh, yeah?
Whatever. Yeah, because it is alarmingly easy to... Like, just any metal is fine.
It.
Or even, like... I was surprised to learn that the grating in front, like, it's just glass. And the metal grating, as long the microwaves actually have
the
a really really high amplitude, right?
Right.
And as long as the holes are smaller than
far
the amplitude
apart,
of the, like, then no microwaves can escape.
That
so
is fancy science.
Just the grating, they're actually that tall. The waves are actually like, you know, a quarter of a centimeter
tall
or whatever. So
I learned that in physics class, I think, in high school, and I was amazed because I guess I can understand that with like the math part of my brain, which is not really a high-functioning part of my brain.
Trying to imagine what's actually going on in the real world to make that work like that just doesn't...
To my ape brain, microwaves are made out of poisonous gas, and they can escape right through those holes in that shit, and of course they go through glass.
It's like the HIV virus in condoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it right through it?
The holes, the pores in a condom are... small or larger than the HIV virus by some kind of ridiculous exponential.
Are you using those RAM intestine condoms?
He's just actually recycling
fishnet condoms.
Recycling old window screens as condoms.
Can yeah. people look up, please, the history of condoms? Because I know that the invention of the condom was these, like, au naturel, the guts of a beast. But did they, like, tie a knot in the end? Or how did they... How did
they just
work?
Left it open. It was...
They were terrible
condoms.
It was
condoms. More like a... Yeah, it was just,
you'd
like, to make their, dick, to make their dick slightly bigger.
Got it.
You know,
how did they come up with? I mean, they must have understood something about reproduction. I guess it's not that hard to figure out that sex leads to pregnancy.
Sure.
If you have like, if you've got tabs on what's going on in your village from year to year, you
but
can
I mean, I feel like
out.
Figuring out that like a wad of Kleenex keeps not getting pregnant would, you know, that wouldn't necessarily lead you to, because like that you wouldn't expect it to, right? And so, like, what reason do you have... We're talking about a caveman here. I mean, what reason does a caveman have to believe that, like, you know... Maybe not a wad of Kleenex. Maybe he used, like, a handkerchief.
I think he used a wad of mastodon fur.
Mastodon, okay, yeah.
And boy, are those hard to flush.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was... I read another study about withdrawal compared to condom use and how... It's just, like, totally the same.
Percentage-wise.
Yeah. And, you know,
disheartening.
Yeah, but withdrawal depends on you actually doing it right.
Sure, but so does condom use. And that's what
that's
all the stats
why.
Are.
But
that's
you get to do the doing it right part with condom use for the most part at the beginning.
Well,
not pulling out when you least want.
There's also the end. There's
the middle part where you have to not break it.
There's the pin. There's
with
the
passion.
There's the pinching the tip. Yeah, and the giant razor sharp scars.
I have this problem where my cock is 42 inches wide. It's a bit of a chode, and it is just covered in spikes and blades. And most condoms, honestly, do not survive being put on, much less. The penetrative actions.
Actually, really, for me, the problem is, given that my penis is also spiky and bladed and comes out pretty close to where my asshole is, condoms rarely survive, like, the trip home from the store. Because I'll put them in my back pocket. Because that's the only place I can keep stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'll sit down, and my spiky ass dick just pokes holes through all of them. Sometimes really small holes, so then it's like, oh, man, crap.
How would you check? You got to inflate each one before you put it on.
Yeah. Well, I do that anyway. I use the Howie Mandel technique.
But for safety.
I put it over my head, inflate it using my nose, and then really quickly pull it off.
Few people know.
And slam it onto my massive Howie Mandel's head-shaped dick.
Right, right.
His makeup has traditionally been pretty good, especially on Deal or No Deal. It's hard to tell that Howie Mandel's head is covered in spikes and blades.
Yeah.
And is near his asshole.
Yeah, he always has to stand in front of something that looks like the whatever color paint was on sale that day. Because he's really cheap. It's amazing what they can do.
That's the high rent game show concept of, do you want to point at that suitcase or the other one?
Man.
It's challenging.
I miss
your limbless
his,
and you can't talk.
I miss his previous endeavors, I have to admit.
Which?
Before he was kind of germaphobia and Howard Hughes-y. He did Bobby's World.
What's that?
It was a cartoon about a kid who talked in like Howie Mandel's
sounds
little
like Howie
kid
Mandel.
Voice.
Yes.
There was Little Monsters where he was a monster and Fred Savage was Fred Savage.
I liked Little Monsters.
Really?
It's so did I.
Wait,
I'm,
the movie.
I'm not.
Movie.
I'm not trying to trap you. I enjoyed that movie.
No,
it had that weirdness to it.
Yeah. But I wasn't. I wasn't acting like I was trying to be trapped. I just. I'm not. I'm not trying to hear that. I
was assuring you that when I say
about
I like
that
it,
movie
it,
yeah. for a long time, and I feel like a lot of people just aren't aware of it at all. I feel like I was a little outside the demo when it came out. I was a little too old for it, but I saw it anyway. And I mean, it was no Mac and Me. That's for sure.
How about The Navigator?
I don't think I ever saw The Navigator.
Oh.
It was a Disney movie, right?
It was.
You know what was good, though, was Explorers.
Oh, that movie is fantastic.
Right up until the end. That had a star-studded cast. It had Ethan Hawke.
And Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
And Tony Hawk.
And they used their Apple II.
And Tony Shalhoub.
To,
Yeah, Wolfgang. Wolfgang, he whipped up the circuit board that Ethan Hawke kept dreaming about.
That movie was amazing.
The best part was when they used the computer after they had flown into the alien spaceship to upload a virus into the computer.
You're thinking of...
It was really weird to see that Independence Day just ripped off that
ripped
ending
off
wholesale.
You know,
except I like to pretend that Independence Day was just a sequel.
I was reading something.
And that those were the kids all grown up with Jeff Goldblum?
I was reading something on Cracked the other day about how apparently there was a deleted scene in Independence Day that kind of explains that whole thing.
Right.
The virus thing?
Yeah. Oh,
which at kidding. Least throws a, like a wave to explain.
Yeah,
it.
Like a nod to, but it was like, there was a scene where Jeff Goldblum like spent a whole bunch of time figuring out how to get his computer to interface with the computer on the crashed ship.
Uh-huh.
Going like, oh, this data is in the same format as the data that I intercepted in the first place.
But if we saw that scene, it would be even more offensive. Like, the final construction of that plot point would be even more offensive because that piece of expository dialogue would be so riddled with bullshit that it would be just better in the end to gloss over it.
It didn't bother me much. As was.
Well, by the time you're at the end of that movie, you've been bludgeoned into non-caring. It's like an apathy.
I like that movie.
An apathy.
I like Independence Day.
I do too. Right,
I'll watch it again. You know, I'll watch it if it's on. It's one of those.
Always on, so you're just constantly watching.
And like the Fifth Element. You know.
I love Fifth Element. See, but that's like a competently directed story.
There's also a bunch of people who hate the Fifth Element. You know. I mean, like, how is it not competently? How is Independence Day not competently directed?
It's just a mess.
Well, there's punch. He punches an alien.
That scene's great. There's like 10 too many characters and nothing.
The guy flies his
like everything is it's just a mess.
Plane
that
right
movie's a mess. It's like an ensemble mess. I think that Independence Day.
It's a Randy Rhodes. Randy Rhodes saves the day.
Many of the scenes are kind of satisfying. I'll give you that.
You know what? You know what else was good was Mars Attacks.
I like Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks seemed to be the kind of anti-Independence Day.
It was, yeah.
We had all these characters who were all kind of reprehensible, and
I think it was maybe conceived as a parody.
The aliens are beaten by accident. Well, I mean, like, he took an established property, right, and then decided to turn it into an Independence
series of
Day
Tops cards.
Parody. Those cards are kind of amazing, though. Just how much blood and guts you used to be able to shovel at small children. Because they're really thick cards, so they pick up a lot of blood and guts as you run them across a floor full of blood and guts when you're shoving them at small children.
You know, Art Spiegelman's first big job was making Topps cards.
I don't think I know who Art Spiegelman is.
Wacky packaging. Mouse. Pulitzer Prize winning graphic novelist.
Okay. I own it, but I have not read it.
Oh, you should read it. It's good.
That's what everybody says about everything.
That's what everyone says about everything. It's good.
I should stop buying stuff and then just throwing it in a trunk.
Yeah.
Do you keep it in a trunk? You have so much display space in your home.
Yeah, no, I finally, when we got a roommate who moved into the room that was eventually become the library, it forced me to unpack all of my books, and now I know, for instance, which Transmetropolitan I need to buy.
Ah, very good.
Oh, I do need to get the rest of those.
People are always telling me to read that. I've never read it. And people
pretty good.
Fantastic.
It's like Hunter S. Thompson, Blade Runner.
So who wrote that? Warren Ellis?
Was it Warren Ellis?
Yes.
And did Warren Ellis write Preacher?
No, that was Garth Ennis.
Ah, that's why I mixed them up. Ennis
most
and Ellis.
Comic book guys are just an E and I S and
friends in low places.
Letters of the alphabet. Like so there's Bob Ebbis. There's Jan Ettis, who's also I'm a big fan of.
There's Dale Evans. Who's the sausage?
Does Eisner conform to that formulation? This would be a great time to play some music so I could go out front and abuse myself.
What?
Jerk off on your car.
We're almost to the finish line.
Yeah.
What?
We have an hour left.
Oh, well, let's sit here and drink more whiskey.
Yeah, you can abuse yourself that way. Man, I thought you were quitting. We had the whole
D20
conversation.
I had this nasty breakup like a month ago, and it has caused me to care less about myself and my well-being.
Cool.
And thus, I smoke some cigarettes. It's extra dumb,
though. Started going against your doctor's orders and drinking nothing but Mountain Dew syrup without even the water added to it.
Actually, kind of, it's maybe an illusion, but I feel like my body feels better from not having the corn syrup. I think it was kind of wrecking my shit.
Do you think that you have made up for the calories in other ways?
I don't know. Probably. I'm definitely not like eating well overall, but I have stopped eating candy bars and sodas. Basically, those are the big corn syrup things.
I hadn't had a candy bar in months until Mr. Skullhead was like, "Let's get candy bars," and I was like, "Okay." We had to leave Con in the middle to go buy a bunch more bottles of water.
And you got candy bars to get you through.
Coke.
Nah. What kind of candy bars do you like?
I like a Twix.
Twix is great. They don't fucking make the peanut butter Twix that's not the dark chocolate Twix anymore. They used to make straight up regular Twix except with peanut butter instead of caramel, and those things were so good.
Well, I just like the... I'm kind of a... I'm kind of a purist, at least insofar as I like the things that existed when I was a kid.
Sure.
By and large, and the new variations don't usually tend to do anything
right.
for me.
Right.
I'm trying to think if there's any, like, new candy products that I actually like.
There's one candy bar that's popped up in recent years. It must be 5 or 6 years old now, maybe more, that I love, that I think is great, which is the Reese's Sticks.
Hmm.
The little, it's like a... It's like those, like, wafer candy, the, like, light...
Like a Kit Kat kind of thing?
Yeah, like, what's in the middle of a Kit Kat, sort of, except lighter than that, with, like, a little, like, fake peanut butter in the middle, and then the, like, Reese's chocolate on the top, and they're just crunchy and easy to consume. I haven't had one of those in a while, but those are my go-to. That and a Snickers, of course.
I like a Skittles. I'm more of an artificial sugar, you know, an artificial flavoring and sugar kind of guy than a chocolate kind of guy.
Yeah,
by and large.
Okay.
I like a Skittles. I like some Jolly Ranchers.
Jolly Ranchers I loved when I was so young.
Are you a Sour Patch Kids?
I like Sour Patch Kids. Yeah. I don't tend to get them. Like, I feel like I'd rather have Shock Tarts.
That is a newish. Tarts.
I mean, they're not. That's like not super new, but it's like something that didn't exist when I was a kid, and then did exist when I was an adult, and I actually like it, and will eat them if they're. Although I hate the blue ones. I feel like candy took a hit in about 1988 when suddenly everything had to have a blue, like blue raspberry sort of caught on, and there apparently
must have
been some advance in food coloring technology that allowed them to make a non-poisonous
we now have a blue that does not cause children to sprout fins.
Because normally they would make things blue with thalidomide.
Yeah,
thalidomide delivered blue to their mothers.
It's called blue tea number. Would your child enjoy a blue candy? Please have a little bit of this. And wait for 12 years.
Thalidomide was kind of a shame because I guess it's kind of a miracle drug.
It's making a comeback.
What did it actually do?
I forget what
it was
like,
good.
So one thing that I know that it does, like, they give it to people with AIDS now, and I know this from reading Douglas Copeland. If you have AIDS and AIDS is doing a thing where you have a whole bunch of like cold sores in your mouth, like,
okay,
thalidomide will just get rid of them. I feel like maybe it. It is good for mucous membranes or something.
So really what you're saying is that we need another drug that counteracts the thalidomide flipper baby syndrome.
Or just to not be so freaked out about it. I mean, because
about,
like,
the flipper babies?
Well,
you don't prescribe it to somebody who's pregnant, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like
Accutane.
You might be pregnant. You always might be pregnant, so you can't. So, I mean, it's not, you know, like drinking a whole shitload of whiskey all the time is bad for you if you're pregnant, but we don't see like, oh, we shouldn't ever sell anyone whiskey because a pregnant woman might
have put a warning on.
Thalidomide has made a comeback, though. Like,
really?
Doctors will prescribe it to people. Like, apparently, leprosy is one of the things it treats, and apparently, leprosy is also still a thing.
It is.
That happens.
Is leprosy like a transmissible disease, or is it like a condition?
I believe that people thought it was transmittable, but it was. It
really?
Turned out to not be.
Wait, then how the fuck do you get some?
You want some?
I think you just develop it. I think it's something.
We're sitting in front of so much internet.
I know, but it's more fun to.
I'm afraid that if I open one more window on this computer, it's gonna revolt.
Our
Google Health.
It's so much fun. I feel like we should treasure and cherish these small moments of ignorance.
They never happen anymore. Yeah, like you
always have the internet in your pocket now.
Even if you're camping.
Even if you're camping, it's true. And so these moments when, for instance, we're sitting around on the radio and we don't know anything about thalidomide, I feel like we should take that and hold it close to our hearts. Like, whatever we make up about thalidomide is just going to be...
I feel like we're nostalgic about that ignorance in a way that people maybe don't understand if they grew up with an internet.
I'm ignorostalgic.
I can, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like every once in a while, I'll still jerk off to the underwear section of a Sears catalog from 1986.
I won't do that anymore.
You won't do that
anymore. Well, because you're turned on by the hair, the big hair.
Oh, yeah.
My brain has been numbed by hardcore fucking in video format, which is now what you can just look at for free on internet.
Yeah.
And has been for so long. Even Playboy seems indescribably quaint to me.
Yeah, like Playboy is of purely aesthetic value.
Although I was playing Mafia 2. It may just be that Playboy's gone downhill, because I was just playing Mafia 2, and they made some little deal with Playboy where the collectibles in the game that I guess encourage you to play through the story again, which you really otherwise wouldn't do because Mafia 2 is not that good. The collectibles are... There's 100 or 50 issues of Playboy from the 50s, It must be. The game is set in the 40s and 50s. So, there's all these old issues of Playboy, and if you find them, you get this extremely high-res scan of the centerfold.
Huh.
And these are all collected for you in your, like, extras menu in the main menu, right?
I see.
And those pictures are fucking hot. And there's nobody double penetrating anybody else.
Yeah.
They're just, like, extremely well lit. Like, these models that have had no surgery to make them more buxom. And, I mean, because you did not have, a culture of double penetration back then, they weren't all
reamed out and floppy.
Well, I was going to say, you put some kind of effort, I think, as a photographer, into capturing some, like, really kind of enticing, you know, pose and expression. It's because you were just shooting a nude, but you were trying to make something that the consumer could jerk off to, right? So you're making pornography, but without fucking in it. And they, like, somehow took these incredibly hot, you know, just nudie pictures, and they were big, and the scans are very large, and they look really good. And I was like, I would find these in the game and just immediately click them off because I'm trying to shoot gangsters or whatever. And then I started looking at them. I'm like, oh my god. Like, that's...
I don't know how I feel about
porn
that.
Was.
Like, you know,
it's
like
so
nice. Rewarding you for a bunch of headshots, you know, against, like, people who are just trying to run their bodega or whatever. Because you know, I'm assuming that's what it is. It's you're shooting dudes who won't pay the protection.
No, right? You're pretty much just shooting other gangsters in Mafia 2. Mafia 2 is very railsy, linear. You can drive all over town, but there's nothing to do except the missions.
You can't just shoot dudes for fun?
You can, but there's no benefit.
Well, that's
they
what
don't
I
even
did.
Drop money.
Oh, wow.
They don't drop money, they don't drop points. Mafia 2, not a very good game.
I never played Mafia 1.
I don't know
that it ever would have occurred
1.
To me to be interested in Mafia 2.
I think Mafia 1 I couldn't play because it was so badly coded that it wouldn't run on whatever computer I had at the time, but the Godfather game was great. Now, the Godfather game, you are a dick. You go through... And you have to find every, like, different business in the whole town of New York, in the all the boroughs too, like barbers, butchers, tailors, and you go in. You have to intimidate them without killing them. You have to intimidate them just enough by punching them, and if they're really obstinate, you have to, like, shoot them in the kneecaps a couple times. But you can't kill them. You have to intimidate them until they're willing to pay protection money, and that's how you build up your, like, weekly income. And it's this whole, like. It's this whole gangster strategy game, sort of, on this city map. Mafia is just like a straight-through cinematic, do the missions, shoot the bad guys in the head. This is sort of boring. Let's talk about KOL. That's a fun game.
Oh, we don't have to talk about KOL.
I haven't been on the radio since.
Yeah, this is the Monday show. All we do is talk about, like, cheeseburgers and
paradise.
Yeah, I say tits, you say paradise, tomato.
I want to talk about KOL a little bit. Could we do it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I haven't been on the radio show since you guys implemented that
the
big
quest
chunk
that you designed.
Of game
yeah.
content that maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, I got really stoned and wrote up like 25 pages
it
of
was,
outline.
It was more than that. You made that before we actually knew each other.
Yeah, kind of.
So
yeah.
It was because I feel like you had written it like when
I'd the first been to con. I'd met you guys.
The first time we ever had a conversation though, we were at my house, the party after con, and we were talking about how we both had the same first computer. How we got our starts with the TRS-80 color computer too. Yeah, and then you like sort of sheepishly confessed having worked on something with somebody about finding a legendary beat. So I feel like that was
really
like 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was. Wow.
Yeah.
It must have sat in my documents folder quite a while. I didn't finish it until maybe a couple years ago.
Okay.
I started it out. But then I added illustrations and I was like developed the whole thing out. And then you guys took it and did it exactly how I had written down, pretty much. I thought it was you were going to like just chop chunks of it out and a bunch of it would be stupid and be like, oh, this isn't right. He doesn't know how to code. He doesn't know how to...
I need to change a handful of things. I mean, I feel like
not
if you,
very many, and you did like it's just awesome. And then I played it, and it's like, wow, this is exactly how I wanted it to go. It was great. So awesome.
Well, it was neat that we had the kind of venue for putting in something like that, right? Something that was kind of self-contained, and
you have a lot of these missions that are triggered by an item that used to be sold, but is now in the general game economy.
Yeah, we didn't do one this month because we just kind of ran out of time. My goal when I went to San Francisco in January was to take advantage of the sort of like hermitage to get a year's worth of Traveling Trader stuff and then a year's worth of these little maps done in January, so that then the whole rest of the year we didn't have to do anything in particular to maintain a steady stream of content.
Uh-huh.
Right? But it just didn't work. It didn't work. We got the trader stuff done, but then these maps just, like, we can't do anything simple.
Well, we
anymore.
Did that thing where we put in the, you know, synopsis or summary of what these maps were going to be and thought that we were done. It's like, oh, let's just reach into this bucket of finished things that we have ready. It's like, hey, I'm ready to have a cheeseburger. I remember I made a bunch of cheeseburgers the other day when what I did was, you know, patty some meat and put it in a freezer.
What I did was just write down "make cheeseburger."
This is how you make a cheeseburger.
And stick it to the refrigerator.
Exactly.
So every time I see in the news the Traveling Traders background, that means there's a big chunk of new game content triggered by an item.
No, it's just tiny. The usually on the 15th, when there's a new item in Uncle P's, is when there's a new.
Oh, it's at Uncle P's.
Yeah.
Got it.
So Traveling Trader would just be an item.
You do a chunk
every
month.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had been up until the 15th of this month, and there was just too much other shit going on for me.
Well, you got Con to take care of.
Yeah, and we had just done Dragon Con. You know what I've done a lot of in the last couple weeks is, like, talking into a microphone to a room full of people.
Oh, yeah? How do you feel about that?
I don't, you know, I'm always super nervous about it. You know, like the Adam Carolla thing that we did at
Comic-Con.
I was shitting bricks before we went over there.
You were fine, though, of course.
I know, once I got there, it was great. You know?
That's how stage fright works.
Yeah. You know,
there wasn't a live audience for that, was there?
There were a bunch of people standing around pointing cameras at us and stuff. But
loiterers, like people who just whose goal in life is to stand around and stare at Adam Carolla, and those guys are going to be the biggest critics of his unfamiliar guests. So it's totally frightening.
It's good thing you didn't tell him that on the way over there.
But then it's fine when you do it.
That's
the secret.
For next year, if we end up doing the Q&A again, we should stipulate that you can only ask a question that you haven't asked to the radio or in the forums.
Right.
Because then, you know, I felt like we did spend a lot of time covering old ground.
Yeah.
And we were funny, we were clever, we were charming.
Sure, yeah.
But,
yeah, I don't know. You know, it has always been the case for me that, like, I'm way better extemporizing than I am trying to, like, give a speech. Like, I hate
that
shit.
Yeah.
I quickly learned, like, in high school when I had to, you know, like, do presentations and stuff, that, like, the less I prepared, the better it would go.
Uh-huh.
You know? It was, like, just, I would give myself, like, a rough outline of what I needed to talk about. And if I knew what I was talking about, I could just make up stuff and, you know, like, I tend to speak in complete sentences. Mostly.
Sure. You do. I've noticed that about you.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, it was fine. The Dragon Con panel went pretty good, and the, I'm sorry, it went pretty well.
Was it well attended?
You know, there were 30 or 40 people there. Like, it was, there were, you know, you could have fit maybe twice as many people in the room, so it wasn't like an embarrassing turnout.
Sure. No, 30 or 40 at a panel is a nice room.
Yeah. And, yeah, and then the KOL Con one went great. I kind of wish that we had managed to get a recording of it. There were some technical difficulties.
Oh,
that
we didn't
made that. No, that sucked. I was gonna maybe play it instead of doing a Thursday show or release it as a bonus episode or something. But yeah, there was no recording of it made, which is sad. But
maybe
no, just another
recorded
thing.
It
we
on
only
there.
Care about the people who go to Con.
Yeah,
you know, clearly. getting some static in the forums about the hippo.
What hippo?
We're selling a familiar at Con. Yeah,
sell familiars. You accept donations.
No, we sold a
this
familiar.
One. We flat out fucking sold
because we were like, yeah, you know, and you know, I had talked about it. I had like, I made the
Did
mistake.
You charge of sales tax?
Asking for permission. No.
Uh oh.
No. Yeah. No. You didn't hear. You didn't hear that. God, start.
Edit button.
Yeah.
All right.
We can't go back and edit this.
That's right. There's no
you know,
tax
we did,
on
so we did, what I, so
it's
I,
a service.
I've just moved my mic. I made the mistake of asking for permission instead of forgiveness.
Yeah, begging forgiveness would have been better.
And so, you know, we had said, hey, listen, we always just hemorrhage money on Con. I was thinking about trying to sell a familiar to try and, you know, to try and defray the costs a little bit. And everybody was like, I hate this idea because it means that I won't be able to get one. So clearly you just need to put it in Mr. Store. And I'm like, well, no, there's already something in Mr. Store, you know.
How much was it?
It was $20.
That's light.
It's
That's inexpensive.
It is, you know, and it worked out. There are a bunch of them. I don't know how they.
I feel like
a lot of people made arrangements, so a lot of people are upset that it's like, well, what you did was you just gave, because they're tradable. So they were like, what you did was you just gave 100 million meat to anybody who went to Con, and you know, so to that argument, I will say no. We gave, you know, the potential to use these systems that exist to make 100 million meat to somebody who gave us a bunch of money to pay for Con, right? Which is like, we operate in such a way that if you give us money, you can get a distinct financial advantage if that's what you decide to do with the thing that you get.
I understand who would be upset about that, and that's people who can't afford to go to Con. Because if you can afford, if you've spent, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars traveling and putting yourself up in Arizona, then the $20 is basically nothing, right? Mm-hmm. As far as in your budget, that's just a freebie for having shown, right, for having shown up.
People were mad that you know, because we had said, well, you know, find a friend who's going to Con and give them $20, or arrange for them to buy you one,
buy
them $20
later.
Yeah, you could. They're tradable. I mean, so, or you could buy them in the mall, you know, and that's what they're upset about.
So did people show up at Con and buy $200 worth of them?
Yeah.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
Well, we encouraged people to buy, and this is going to, for other friends, and
this is going
to
be one of the least. You know. This is going to be one of the scarcest familiars in the whole game.
No.
Are they good? Does it do something?
It's
good?
No. It's not. It's not like. It's not particularly relevant. I mean, it's
for collectors.
It's like, yeah. It's like one of the two Mr. A familiars in Mr. Store, but with a tiny bit of combat flavor that just doesn't. You know, it does some stuff. It attacks and stuff, but nothing that's like, you know, so good that you have to have it if you want to do some particular thing. No matter what that thing is, this is not the optimal familiar for it, right?
Could I design a little familiar sometime? Could I try?
Sure.
You guys can surely reject it, of course.
Sure. Yeah. All design, right. Design a familiar, and then it'll be so broken. We'll sell it at the next Con.
Next con's piss next off con's everyone familiar. Who didn't show
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
familiar
yeah,
will be the, courtesy of Mr.
Courtesy of MC Frontalot.
It's gonna be an MC Frontalot familiar. It's going to be like a little wrapper of some kind.
That's okay. I think there's maybe some little bit of vanity there. Although, I guess if you weren't vain, I mean, you have to be vain to be a rapper, right?
Why on earth would you want to do any rapping if you did not suffer from
the subject matter is not how awesome
first
you are.
Place? Yeah,
yeah. True. Yeah.
On the other hand, though, it will be mistaken for a Mr. Scully familiar.
No. Yeah.
Oh, here's what the familiar's power is going to be.
Because you look the same because of the no hair thing.
Yeah, it will leap off your shoulder and impregnate your wife. That will be the power. Of the
right, yeah, because there was a thing where he leapt off my shoulder and impregnated my wife.
Do the radio listeners know this running joke?
I
didn't make this up, but whenever Scully and his lovely wife, Mrs. Scully, is that her game?
Sure,
name?
we can go for that. Yeah.
Whenever I see them, and now when I see their parents, they make
when
the same.
When you see that they are parents?
No. When I see
when you see their
the parents of either Mrs. Right. Scully or Scully.
Have you met Scully's parents?
No, I'm just only talking about her folks.
Okay.
When I see them now, whenever I see them, and particularly when I see their kid, Ollie, or Little Scully, or whatever his game in-game name is.
Yeah, he's not playing yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Whenever I see them, they make this joke about how I'm the real father of the child,
mm-hmm.
How the child constantly points at pictures of me on internet and says, Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically how I had sex with your wife once, and that's why you're now ostensibly
just,
a father,
not
but
just
actually
once. I feel like
cuckolded.
Like that was potentially a tough nut to crack.
And
right?
I don't understand the joke.
I'm assuming that you had sex with her more than once.
The joke is that we look similar.
No, just the once.
The joke is that we look similar.
Yeah, well, it started because whenever I wore your Secrets from the Future shirt,
people would say,
"Is that a t-shirt of you? Are you wearing a shirt with your own face on it, dude?" So then I figured, you know, if people were so easily confused, maybe my own wife was confused. And
yes, well,
you,
she was.
But you perpetuated that joke from the stage.
Well, I play along.
You know.
Oh, well, especially on stage, because I figure that's embarrassing.
You said, like, this is, you know, this song
no,
is
and
going
I mean, you
out to
be,
the
you want to be a guy.
Mother of my only child and played Bizarro Genius Baby.
You right. want the character you play on stage to be a guy that doesn't give a fuck. He'll impregnate anybody's wife.
Oh, dear.
Just left and right.
Do I? You guys know me, okay? Am I playing a character on stage? People always tell me I am, and I don't think I am. I think it's just, like, like me, but kind of hamming it up.
There's definitely a mode there's a mode that you are never in except when you're on stage.
I'm much less worried about being boring when I'm not on stage, so I figure I'm on stage, I'm me, but trying really hard not to be boring.
I mean, I feel like there's a sort of surprising earnestness in your day-to-day personality that's not necessarily there. I mean, you know, it's to a lesser extent than like you act slightly differently when we're on the radio. We all act slightly differently when they're on the radio.
I'm also trying not to be boring.
I make more rape jokes and fewer fart jokes. Actually, I mean that's honestly true.
Like, it's a balance.
I feel like my day-to-day just fucking around making jokes is a lot more just like, you know, just saying the word poop 30 times.
Yeah, a lot of that. No,
that's the
way
in which I will be funny. Nightmare and I have been writing a lot of songs that consist of only the syllables poo and pee.
Hmm.
And we'll sing along with songs, changing the lyrics to poo poo pee 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 poo pee poo pee poo pee 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 poo.
It seems like Viva La Vida would be ideal for that.
What is that?
Viva La Poo Poo?
It just singing along to the orchestral part, the pee 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 poo poo pa pee pee. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know that song.
That's honestly, it's a song by a band called Coldplay.
Oh,
they got popular a couple of years ago.
I don't like Coldplay.
I haven't heard of them. Are they popular?
I was complaining about some song to Hot Stuff, and he was like, "Man," I was bitching about some Coldplay song, and he was like making fun of me because he was like, "What about Joanna Newsom? Like that's not all emotional." I'm like, it's not that it's emotional; it's that he wrote a song about like some fucking girl breaking up with him. Like, you know, shut up. Like my argument is.
Shut up.
I mean, that is my argument too. Sure, about a lot of things, right?
That's a cogent argument against Coldplay.
I don't want to.
Not an argument so much as a request.
Yeah, exactly. And, any requests?
You know what's funny? I think I hear the Coldplay guy the way you hear most musicians that I like that you don't. Like, someone who is just completely detached about whatever emotion is expressed in the song, but kind of doing a bad job faking that he's really into it. So, yeah, whenever I hear Coldplay, I also think that the only thought running through his head is, God, my voice is so pretty. When I go up in that falsetto, fuck yeah, listen to that, bitches.
Does that guy spend a lot of time impregnating Gwyneth Paltrow?
Not a whole lot of time. How long does it take?
If you're Coldplay, you make it last.
Yeah, and the whole time you're thinking, God, I'm good at fucking. I'm fucking this girl
listen
so hard.
Listen to that squish noise.
Is that
how Coldplay talks?
Noise.
Listen to me.
Kind of like Todd Ingram from Scott Pilgrim. Well, it requires that your penis is actually making contact with the vaginal wall all around, which, since you're usually just, you know, the circumference of your penis is so infinitesimal.
But the spikes stick out.
Yeah.
God,
you get more of a scrape.
That
and a yell.
Scott Pilgrim movie was great. I loved the shit out of that movie. I was so happy after I watched that.
Apparently it's just like, it was nice to have that movie because it made me realize that we're not the only people in the world, because everybody I know loved that movie and wanted to see it again, and yet it did almost no box office. So there are all these people out there who saw that trailer and went, nah. I can't fathom.
And word of mouth on it, I know, was top notch. Like, I understand that it's sort of a focused audience, but it seems to me the focused audience is people who've ever played a video game or been in a teenage
relationship.
And
it seems like everyone who loved it would have dragged a bunch of friends, but maybe the people who really loved it don't have any friends.
I don't get it. Because video games are a bigger industry than Hollywood. How did Scott Pilgrim falter?
It's coming out on DVD November 9th.
Okay, it's going to make a lot of money.
Video games are a bigger industry than Hollywood, and 95% of that industry is like dudes buying every Madden game that comes out. Right? Like, Super Nintendo is not a bigger industry than Hollywood.
We're not
talking about people who like video games. We're talking about people who liked Super Nintendo.
I think, yeah, you know? That's correct.
Video game culture is not bigger than movie culture, because movie culture is all-encompassing, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, no, that's true.
Like,
Old people do not play video games.
It's cool because we used to only have like two or three things people, to talk about on the radio, and now that Scott Pilgrim came out, we have another thing to
talk
about.
We have at least four.
Every radio show. Boy, do I hate microwaves and DVD remote controls, and boy, was Scott Pilgrim a great movie that nobody went and saw.
You know, I like Scott Pilgrim as much as I hate Wesley Willis.
Yeah.
You hate Wesley Willis?
Yeah, we don't want to go. We've only got minutes left.
I want to see you guys argue about this. I like arguing with Front a lot because it like you got this quality.
It always takes too long and you're drunk at the end.
Well, it's like arguing with the wind.
You got this quality that just it's like yeah, wow, it just makes me feel like I'm wrong about everything.
Well, also we know though that
maybe
you don't...
it's like I'm kind of a bad person.
That's
like,
some
wow,
good arguing.
I should be more like MC Front a lot.
Well, it's also that it's clear you don't give a fuck and are willing to make up information to confuse.
Sure. Well, that helps when you're arguing.
Yeah,
I should. That's gonna be my next album title, by the way. I should be more like MC Frontalot.
All right.
Oh my god, that would allow me to do the thing I've always wanted, which is to have the album title include the artist name, so that the album title officially, technically, could be I should be more like...
Yeah.
MC Frontalot.
Do it.
God damn it.
And I only need like I only need $1.50 or maybe $1.55 from each sale.
If it were
for royalties on the idea.
If it were a 15 song album and you had written every song on the album, that's how much you would get according to compulsory licensing.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
$1.50.
Yeah. If I were covering your songs and put out a cover album, I would owe you 10 cents a song.
See, that's why I CD. Just pirate everybody's music. Because if they're going to be paid so little, they might as well be paid nothing. That's my protest.
That's for covers. Hopefully, yeah. If somebody has a deal with a record company, they're getting more than that for their original stuff, which is them singing it recorded. This is more depressing than talking about Scott Pilgrim not making enough money.
Who is supposed to relieve us tonight?
I would be relieved if I knew that answer.
Who is supposed
Do you want me to go look at the radio schedule and go, it says TBD?
Oh, cool.
That
so
means
we'll wait for
They haven't decided yet.
Excuse me. I like being on KOL radio because I feel like I can make body noises. I can talk about filthy subjects. I can use bad language.
Yeah.
And I can be drunk. In fact, as I mentioned near the beginning of the 2 hours, I feel I'm expected to be drunk.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, at the very least, it's a tradition at this point.
It is.
Boy, that Thanksgiving show was a lot of whiskey.
We were real drunk for that. Is that in the archive still?
I believe it is in the archive
listen
still.
Listen to that
yeah.
if they like.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about some real filthy...
We probably did.
I remember spending a lot of time on HJs.
Yeah, we did. We did talk about HJs a lot. I think that became kind of a running gag.
Was it? Nice.
Usually you just get the gagging with the BJs, but...
Right. Well, if you're doing a handjob, wow. Right, there's sometimes some gagging.
If you're running and giving a BJ, you're almost guaranteed to gag.
Yeah, that's true. Unsafe at any speed is what that
is. Don't blow and run.
So, well, you can blow and then run.
You can eat.
Actually,
and
that's
run.
Preferable.
I hate to eat out and run.
Oh my god, they used to sell, not sell, but
god
give away these straws. And on the paper covering the straw that you have to remove, it said, eat out more often. And we were young... impressionable and immature, and we just
no. And you used to play that game
things.
Where you everything that you read on a straw wrapper, you would then append in bed too.
Manufactured in Indianapolis, in bed,
yeah,
like that.
Actually, it's Geek Rock Girl, according to the radio schedule, which you should have been looking at before you said you didn't know who it was, Mister.
Oh,
I don't like to look at radio schedules before
internet.
I say
I'm
stuff.
Afraid if I open a browser, my computer will crash. Yeah. I'm
Geek
afraid
Rock
that
Girl,
if I touch anything.
85.
She probably doesn't know my AIM
probably
handle.
Not.
Can you log on to your AIM? Can you get her AIM handle so I can ping pong, or I could just announce my AIM handle on the radio. That could. Couldn't
guys,
possibly go wrong.
You guys hire Freeze Pop to play for your con attendees, but you won't buy a computer with four CPUs that can run as many Windows as you want.
Well, this is just my old...
Why don't you write your AIM handle on a piece of paper and show it to me?
This is just my old... my old computer from my office.
Or you're logged into the game that we play, right?
I am.
You could just type /message/geekrockgirl85 as all
go.
One word.
But what if she's like
girl spelled
fuck.
With an I?
Tired
yes.
radio. What if she's not there?
She's
what?
There.
Oh, it's the.
What if love is a yeah. lie?
What if God was one of us?
What if miracles do happen? I saw a funny internet video about Jewel the other day.
About Jewel?
About Jewel. They put her in some, like, movie-grade stage makeup.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, suspended her in resin
they
or something.
Suspended
like that.
Her in resin. And then,
they put
believe
her in
it or not,
a tank.
I went into a trance. I viewed the future, and far in the future, there was an island where they'd found
Jewel. They had extracted
in
her
resin.
DNA.
Yes, they extracted her DNA and made a bunch of large monster jewels, which they thought were going to be sort of friendly, but ended up terrorizing the island.
I love the scene where they put out a goat, you know, and kind of staked it to the ground for Jewel to have something to eat, and suddenly the goat's just gone.
Yeah. Well, Jewel will go through a goat. I mean,
Jewel can,
right
can skeletonize a goat in 4 or 5 seconds.
But, you know, a goat not even, goes right through Jewel, too.
That's not even future DNA.
That's a
Jewel.
Poop joke. That's for you.
Yeah.
Does Jewel have messed up teeth?
I don't know.
They've gotten better because she... Okay, here's the ironic thing. Her teeth are now fixed because she became a country music star, and they hold their stars to higher teeth standards than do, like, you know, folk rock.
Can't possibly be serious.
But yeah, imagine the audience for, say, a folk rock show versus the audience for a country music show. The teeth are going to be worse in the audience, but you have to have better teeth to play in front of them. Maybe they just don't like to see that the terrible teeth reflected back at them from
Nobody
the stage.
Nobody likes to see that. Mm. Jewel.
You've installed a program that starts with an R. And
does that fuck up your mojo?
No, because now if I hit the Windows key and then R, it tries to do that instead of...
Fucks up your mojo.
Yeah.
I bet you can go in there and rename. You're up like a power user. You can go in and rename something, fix that shit. It's tell you what you can do is install Windows 7, dude.
Is Windows 7 a thing?
Dude, it's so great.
I installed it for my mom.
It works
nice on
it
Jess's
works
laptop.
So much better than any other Windows ever worked. It like really works. Like all the things in it. Like I haven't found a broken part of it yet. I've been using it for like a year.
Huh. If you're running XP though.
Yeah.
But you do have a computer that's powerful enough to run 7. Should you go 7 then?
7. Run 7, no matter what. Okay. Buy a little extra RAM if you don't have it in whatever
computer. I bought a laptop that came with Windows
7.
Don't
run Vista. I ran Vista for about 8 months. That thing is broken as shit.
I know it was terrible. I downgraded my home gaming rig to XP from
only
Vista.
Way to go.
But I bought a laptop that had Windows 7 on it, and I couldn't figure out how to do a goddamn thing with it.
Are you kidding?
So I was just like, ugh, I'll just install XP on it.
I had the transitional period of broken Vista that I committed myself to trying to figure out.
Okay.
And that got me used to the new UI.
It does this Mac bullshit where it's like they've tried to switch the whole model around on you. Like what I like about Windows XP is that if I have a program running, there's a little nodule on my taskbar down at the bottom that's like, here's this program running, right?
And when did you not see that on
Windows 7, there was the browser icon is on. There, it's like,
oh, you've got
it's
it
like,
locked
like
down there. But
it's like a half-ass version. It gets like
it's
some
got
weird
a square around it that's lit up if it's running. It's like real easy to tell.
Yeah, except that
what I
do all the time, the way that if you could watch me work for an hour, you would understand why I don't. Like, why I don't like working on things on a Mac, and why I don't like working on things on Windows 7.
I also hate using Macs, but I love Windows 7.
So, what I will very frequently do is I will have several different browser windows open, and I want to be able to switch between them with a click on the title of the browser name, right? I mean, I'm sure that I could learn to just, like, love the, like, task switching. I'm usually running, like, 10 or 12 programs.
It's a
so
double...
task switcher's a pain in the ass.
It does take some things to double-click. It takes that to double-click. You click once, you have your list of them, but each one has a little picture, which I started it and I was like, wait a minute, I'm used to reading the text on here, and instead it goes to the pictures, and I actually like that better.
I have two if I have two putty sessions open on two different things, a fucking 200 pixel by 200 pixel picture
that's useless
of either of those is useless, right? But the title, if I can somehow see what is in the title bar of the app window, which is like what people who write good software use to very quickly and concisely describe what this program is and what the fuck it is doing.
I understand completely.
You know, and so that's an annoyance with that.
I am not positive, but I am pretty sure that you can tell it to do taskbar XP style.
Oh.
Here's some things that work that have never worked on Windows in... what's it been, 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Search. the search index that sits there and chugs away on XP and has never worked, chugs away on Vista and has never worked.
I've never had any problem searching for stuff.
You're kidding.
And I haven't either.
If you go bang and start typing something that should be in a file name, all the things just pop up. No. I've used this version of Windows for many years.
I feel like if I'm searching for files on my hard drive, I go to the form, I type it in, and then it gives me a list of all the files on my hard drive that have that name, and then I can...
How long does it take?
I mean, like, so what I will often do if I'm, like, say, trying to free up hard drive space, the time when I use the search the most is if I'm trying to free up hard drive space, so I will search for every file. It will take, like, 30 seconds to give me a list of every file on the hard drive. I will sort by size.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
I have never seen search work well on Windows.
Huh?
I've always seen it broken until Windows 7, and now it works great. That's my review.
Okay.
But your experience seems to differ.
Yeah. I have been using
places. How about that? You know how recent places has always been in Windows and it's always been useless. It doesn't work. Doesn't show you recent places.
I don't even know what that would do.
That's because 15 years ago you clicked on recent places and realized it was worthless and then conditioned yourself.
Actually,
to
no. Mine works great because on my laptop, for some reason, it's broken and doesn't show anything now.
Uh-huh.
And that used to be how I opened, like, every time I opened a web browser, I would do it from there.
Gotcha.
And every time I click it and see it blank, I go, God, I wish recent places worked as well as the crappy way that it works that MC Farlot hates.
When we get done with this radio show, I'm going to show you some Windows 7 shit that's cool.
Yeah, okay, you can do that while we maybe smoke a thing.
Blow your mind, dude.
I'm going to get off the radio now, I think is what we're going to do.
Right, good night, KOL.
Thanks for joining us.
I love you guys.
A lot.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. All right, that's it. I'm turning it off now.